This interview is with Archie Campbell, and it occurred on June 1, 1992, at Archie's home, one of the few, in fact, the only home remaining on that north side of Franklin Street between 2nd and 3rd Streets, directly behind the picture jewelry. Archie, of course, the Campbell name is very famous in the history of Grand Haven, and he could lend considerable light to some of the occurrences of the Dake Corporation and the foundry that led up to the incorporation of the Archie Campbell Enterprises into the Dake Corporation. After this side of the tape was completed, Archie began to reminisce about his war years in World War II. He was a captain in the Marines, ended up out in the South Pacific, and was involved in some of the invasions of the islands in a lead-up to the atomic bomb dropping, of course, on Japan, which ended the wars. He was quite enthused that he could recall some of those things that had occurred so many years ago, nearly a half century ago. But at this time, let's pick up the interview. Some papers, 1896-97, and I had an ad, saw an ad for 7th Street Foundry, Archie Campbell, proprietor. And of course, I thought of you actually right away. You know,
yeah, what's that stuff? Must have been my father.
Where was that plant? It just says 7th Street. I don't know where. I know where 7th Street is, of course.
Yeah. It's right down in, next to the car tracks.
Hmm. Okay. Next
it's
to
just
the...
just this side of the bridge.
Okay. That would be the, well, the highway bridge. The one that goes over it.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Not the railroad bridge.
Well,
it would have been one and the same, sure. They're right next to one another.
Yeah.
And that, so he had, did he start that, or?
Yeah. No, well, I guess he didn't start it. I heard him say that he went to the foundry down there on 7th Street. And, trying to think of the people, some of the foundry there, and then they moved to Grand Rapids, and I think that my father bought the foundry.
Mm. Yeah. Now, Dake also had a foundry, did they not? Dake Engine.
Yeah.
They had a foundry.
Well, you see, my dad put his foundry in as part payment for his third interest in the Dake Engine.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
That was it.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, the Johnson Brothers, boiler shop, put in this some accounts receivable that they that the Dake company owed the boiler shop. So they got a third interest that way.
So then, yeah, I forgot.
Then Armstead had been, I don't know whether it was a top officer or, I think probably, in Dakes at that time.
Yeah.
And he put in the Dake interest, or mm-hmm. third interest, so that there were consolidation of those three.
So that would have been what, 1900 or? The Because if your dad had his foundry in the 1890s, it would have been, have to have been after that, unless he was still running it as an independent as well. I doubt it, though. When he went into Dake, it probably all... He no longer was known as the 7th Street Foundry from that point on, or was he? I don't know.
Well, it's a long time back.
I know it. And of course, Dake...
I hadn't thought about it
Dake,
quite a while.
Dake began in 1887.
I think so.
But then maybe they reorganized. Yeah. And was your dad there at the beginning? Or did he come in...
No, he had his little foundry.
Yeah, okay.
And he ran that, and then he put in the foundry. His foundry was his share in the Dake engine. And Johnston's put in. They got a third.
Mm-hmm.
From the debts of the,
the
Dakes that run up and buying boilers from the boilers.
Now those engines that were being cast were fairly good sized blocks of metal, weren't they? They looked like engine blocks as I remember seeing them, or something similar to it.
Oh, I guess the biggest ones were about like that.
Yeah. But that's what your dad was casting.
Oh, yeah, he could cast those. He cast a lot of different things.
Now, there was also a Campbell up at Campbell, Wyatt, and Cannon. There's no relationship, or is there? Remember up in Muskegon, that was metal, that was foundry work, too.
Yeah, but... I think Campbell Wyatt started their foundry in Muskegon until about 1910 or something. Like
oh, I
that.
See.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they're not related to you, that Campbell.
Well, my brother married a Campbell girl. DJ Campbell was head of the Campbell Wyatt.
So a Campbell married a Campbell.
Right.
Boy, the Scotch didn't want to get anything mixed up there. I assume you're Scottish. Campbell is enough
Campbell.
Scottish.
Right.
Yeah.
My father came over to Grand Haven from Toronto, but his folks were Scottish people. He was born and raised till he was about 16 years old or something like that, over in Markham, pretty close to Toronto.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know where that is. Sure. So when he came here as a relative youngster.
Yeah. I don't know just how old he was. I bet it was 16 or something like that.
But the whole family were...
He came here from Canada with one of the layman boys.
The barbers?
Same family.
Huh.
Yeah. For years afterwards, he would go to the layman's barbershop. Their shaves.
Well, now, was this your family home? The one you're living in now? Your father's
home?
Oh,
yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. He bought it from Goodrich, I believe. About 1900.
Okay. Goodrich. All I can think of with Goodrich is the Goodrich steamship line. Remember that? No relationship there.
I think not. I don't call. I think he was a judge.
No. Homes all through here at one time. Franklin Street was...
Oh, yes.
Was the residential area.
Yeah, there were two across the street where the parking lot is.
Yeah. Sure, I remember when... oh, gosh, who was it that lived there when they moved?
Dick Cook lived there.
Oh, did he? The mayor?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Bud Boer from Boer Furniture Store.
Oh, yes, sure.
Lived in the corner house.
Now, Boer, that is Ruth Hook and Corny Wagner's
relatives,
okay.
Right.
Because I know that...
And then the Bakers across the street.
Now, what Baker is that? The lumber?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dick, old Dirk Baker used to live across the street next to the corner house.
Mm-hmm. Where that big white house now that used to be the Cameron funeral home.
Right.
Uh-huh. Huh. And that was the Baker home.
That was the old...
Yeah, Dirk Baker.
Dirk, yeah. Uh-huh. And Will Baker was his son. He was in business with his father, if I remember. And he built a house directly across the street and lived there.
Mm-hmm.
The Baker family. That was Will Baker.
It doesn't ring a bell. He was in the lumber business too, I take it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He learned the lumber business from mm-hmm. his father.
Mm-hmm.
And then or something like that, he moved to Battle Creek and he moved to Battle Creek and he furnished most of the lumber for the army camp.
Oh, did he? Fort Custer.
Right.
In the Second World War. Oh. That would have been a problem. First World War.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. So he left here before 1916-17, somewhere in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. Now, you had homes on this side, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember who lives in the corner house. We had some of the early settlers, but at one time we had Superintendent Donovan who lived on this side, and we had Principal Eggman lived on the other side.
Oh, I see, at the school system.
Yeah.
Now, who was it again, Superintendent? Who was the superintendent, did you say, that lived over here?
Don Dono.
Okay.
Yeah. And Eggman.
Okay.
On the other side.
How old is this house, then? It's got to be 100 years old.
Oh, yeah. I think the record show that was built in 1843.
Oh my gosh, was it really?
It was built presumably for the first school teachers
not Mary White, you don't mean.
Right.
Was it really?
Yeah. Who was it? that was built by her intended husband.
Oh, yes, I've heard about that. I remember reading about that. And then what happened to that? She was jilted, or he died, or what was the story? I've kind of forgotten that.
I think he died before the house was finished.
Uh-huh.
And
she never did marry.
No.
Mary White didn't know.
And then I think some relative of the Reynolds.
Sure, that used to live up the street a little farther.
Yeah.
Jesse lived up another block up.
Right.
Boy.
Took over the building of the house, finished it. And then I guess it's a little hazy.
Yeah.
It's a long
time. Oh yeah, right. Well, this could rank as one of the oldest houses in the area. You know, 1843, the town was only, the first building didn't go up until 1835.
Uh-huh.
So that means that 8 years later, this house was built.
Uh-huh.
That's a long, a long time ago.
Right.
You got some articles.
That's a list of the...
Oh, of the mayors.
The mayors.
Oh, I see. Our mayors, yeah. Okay. Wasn't Reynolds... Was Reynolds in there? Or not? Reynolds would be way back up here if he was.
Yeah. George Parks. The Parks family.
Yeah.
And, this is Parks. He's in his house next door.
Oh, is that right? Uh-huh. And that would be the same Parks.
Well, I think this is a...
A relative,
this
perhaps.
This is a relative, yeah.
Of course, now, you know, Miller Sherwood's wife, Barb, is a Parks. I wonder if there's any relation. That's... Remember Bert Parks? Now, who am I thinking of? Paul Parks. You know who Paul Parks is? You know him or not?
I think I would know the name.
Yeah, well, that's
Parks.
Think
along the...
Yeah, doesn't look like they're... I don't see Reynolds on there.
Well...
That's an old paper. Where is it? Well, this is...
This is there.
Yeah, that's Doug Chapkus announcing leaving up. Oh, that's when Norm Engelreich decided he wanted to leave office.
This is Norm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
J.W. O'Brien, he was an officer in
the bank,
in
right?
The bank.
The National Bank, wasn't it? Was it the National or was it the Grand Haven State?
I think it was
Grand Haven State. Yeah.
But
he was the cigar maker.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he was. There's Goodrich right there. J.B. Goodrich, that's the one you were saying. Sure, he was mayor in 1897.
Yeah, Meyer and Herman Harpeck.
Oh, yes, of course.
A.J. Nile.
Yeah.
And
there's Campbell. Okay, Archibald Campbell.
Yeah, 1909 and 10.
Up to 11. Well, actually,
yeah,
up to 13.
I never knew my father. Had three terms.
Yeah, looks it.
There's something peculiar about that.
Oh.
As far as I remember, he was he was mayor for two terms.
Oh, I see.
Doc Cathcart.
Sure, yes, okay.
Matt Robbins, Beacon's Island. And then
Loudon was there for a while.
Yeah, he was there a while, I think.
Four turns, four or five.
Doc Cotton.
Cotton again. He got back in there. Hadn't had enough.
Huh?
Sure, here he is up here. Charles Cotton, and then Charles Cotton down here.
All right.
10 years later.
Where's Cotton?
Here, this one right here.
Oh. Yeah.
1912 and 13.
23 and 24.
It happens. It looked like they were annual elections for the mayor.
I guess so.
Yeah. There's Dick Cook. He was in there a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he lived across the street.
Yeah. Of course, Lionel Heap was a very interesting fellow.
You know, Peter. Lionel Heap. Oh, yeah.
Caleb
Cook was in there for quite a while.
Yeah, he sure was. 6 terms. 6 years. They're just giving it by years. It might be that they were 2-year terms and that they're just giving it by years. Yeah, see, here is your dad was 1909, 1910, 1911, so it probably was 2 terms.
Yeah,
that would be
I
it.
Think so.
Yeah.
Here's Dick Cook.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was 35, 36, 37, 38, 39.
40.
I think those are yearly.
Yeah, either a yearly election or
they
were just listing it by years. Yeah. Well, I'm going to set this back here because that's a precious one.
Yeah, paper's that old, they kind of fall apart after a while.
Yeah. Well, my dad was there about 1910.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you really are second generation here.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My father born about 1901, I believe, from Judge Goodrich.
Goodrich, yeah. But you're second generation in the town, too. There was no one preceding your father. When your father came here, he was the first Campbell to move to...
Right.
...to Grand Haven.
Yeah. He was just a young fellow.
Yeah.
I don't know just how old he was.
Yeah. Now, you were involved with DAPE for a while, weren't you?
Right.
Uh-huh. I was relating how the north end of town used to be the industrial end of town, and...
Corn plant was there. And later became a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Factory.
It's kind of a strange combination. I never could figure that out. I think from the beginning they called themselves the Corn Planter and Refrigerator Company. Did they or not? Or was it just the Corn Planter Company?
I think it was the Corn Planter just to start with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's before my time.
Well, yeah. That would have been the 80s or 90s that they organized. Yeah, and they lasted up until 1929 when Harold Ringelberg, or it would have been Abe Ringelberg, started the Challenge Porcelain to do porcelainizing for the refrigerators. And that's the year that they went under.
Well, the Harbichs ran it for many years.
Yeah. Now they were just.
Then was when mechanized refrigerators. Challenge refrigerator didn't go into that. They formed it with some people. That's it. I think young Gene was in on it. Anyway, they started a separate factory for refrigerated rather than ice boxes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that then became the Puffer Hubbard. Is that right, or where did that tie in?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it all mixed up together.
Yeah.
Same people.
Were you invested in the corn planter?
No.
No. What other ones were you?
I'm an expert.
Yeah. What other ones were you involved in, other than
Dave?
The date, yeah. Well, just think. Although I understand that they still did make that old Dake engine up until not too many years ago. Like they'd have an occasional reason to make one.
Uh-huh.
But what they're doing today is so far removed from what the company was when it all began. It's quite amazing. Because you're producing just one thing, isn't that right? A Dake engine?
Well, we made a lot of castings during the First World War. My father made a lot of castings for escape companies. What's the name of it? Name slipped my mind.
That would be Sealed Power or.
Yeah, we made casting for Sealed Power for years. From Morton, in West Michigan. But there was a little factory over there that I believe they made some ammunition shells over there.
Hmm.
And they made some machines that made boxes. Well, boxes used to be made with corners in them.
Oh yeah, mitered corners. Yeah.
They weren't exactly mitered, but they had
tongue and groove or whatever.
Tongue and groove, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there was a factory that made those machines. And I can remember as a boy, my father would go over to that plant, and he made the casting for those machines.
Mm. Mm. Now, this is...
And at one time, for a short period, Dakes made cylinder blocks from Continental.
Oh, did they? These would be individual cylinder blocks. Well, no, they would be probably four cylinders at a time, or
something.
I'm thinking of the aircraft engines that they made. Some of those did have individual cylinders that sat out.
Well, that was much later.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But you were still producing the Dake engine as well. Is that not right?
Oh yeah. One time, most of the tugboats on the Great Lakes had Dake steering gears, which were steam steering gears.
Mm. Almost like power steering.
Or for tugs.
Uh-huh.
Great Lakes Bridge and Dock, I had a big fleet of tugs.
And
And those were all that square blocked, square piston, I should say, engine.
Right.
And they're still working today.
Well, I guess most of them.
I understand there's one that still is anyway.
Yeah.
And the H.J. Dornbos. They said that they that there was a Dake engine. It's my recollection that there's a Dake engine aboard that still working.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's in New York today, still in, still working.
Uh-huh. Could be.
Speaks pretty well for the product.
Oh. A lot of them came back over the years and were overhauled, back in the service.
And you were close enough to the channel, those ships could come right up here to you. Pretty much to your door. Is that what you did? Or did they just send the engine back? Is that what you're saying?
Well, these steam steers were mostly for tugboats, smaller. Mm-hmm. And some of the smaller lake freighters, they would gravel, would take gravel out of Grand Haven, Chicago, and around. Mm-hmm. And they would, and the Dake engine would overhaul some of their steam engines.
But what I meant is, were the ships able to come right up to, well, up the South Channel, if it would have to be? Up to where you were, you were not too far from the South Channel.
I don't think any of them came up the South Channel.
Oh,
they came up the main river,
okay.
Tied up over the across the river from gravel.
Oh, okay. And that's where you do the work then. You'd send the crew over there to
right
do the overhauling. Yeah. And then if any parts had to be remachined, they could do it right there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now we bore the steam engines out of the tannery, and a lot of miscellaneous machine work around in this area.
I was commenting the other day that there were no paved streets in Grand Haven until 1910, when Washington Street was paved. Now, do you remember when Franklin was paved? Would it have been about that time? Or?
Oh, I think that my father was mayor when they put the first pavement in.
Is that right?
I think so.
Now, how about Franklin then?
That came later, of
course. Yeah. But that was the first paved street, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that up until 1910 it was all... Well, you just had a dirt road out here, apparently.
Oh, yes, yeah. In fact, I don't think there were more than a dozen automobiles in the town. Old Tom Johnson lived at the house at the end of the street here.
That had been the gravel Tom Johnson?
No.
No, not
the
same.
This is the boiler factory.
Oh, okay. All right.
And he seems to me that he moved from Perrysburg over here about 1896, I think. That's before my time.
Yeah.
But he moved there, and he had a little garage out behind the house that opened up on the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go over to the boiler shop and back every day.
In his car?
Had a little, I don't know what it was, Saxon or something like
that. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Huh. Two-seater.
And you remember it, though, do you?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
The car he had, it was one of the first in town.
Sure. Huh. Mostly horses. Horse carts and so forth, but anyone with a car was somebody to, they either had a lot of money or a lot of courage, one or the other.
Yeah.
How about telephones?
What?
Did you have a telephone when you were?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how
the telephone directory wasn't very big.
Yeah, right. Not many people had. I'm talking about 19. At the First World War, for example. But you had one then.
Oh, what? A long time before that.
Is that right? Yeah. Huh. Well, you see the poles out on the, 1910. There were a lot of lines strung out along the streets, so it had to have been for something. How about indoor plumbing? I've often wondered about that. When did indoor plumbing come around? Was that, did you have an outhouse, or did you have?
No, I never had an outhouse.
Uh-huh. Turn to the century. Well, let's see. You were born when?
1904.
Okay. So it's all the time that you remember then, you had indoor plumbing here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the plumbing. That was the bathroom there.
Okay.
Toilet.
Uh-huh.
Upstairs was just a wash bowl and a toilet. Bathroom was measured about 4 feet by 4 feet.
But it was a flush toilet. A flush toilet.
Yeah, as far as
it's
I
pretty
can
good.
Remember.
I didn't realize that they went back that far. Yeah. So there had to have been a central sewage system. I know the sewage plant was down on the north end of town. You know where I mean? Down on Adams Street.
Yeah. I can remember it being down there, but I don't know when it was built.
I've got to get the information on that. City Hall probably will have that. Or if I look through the papers long enough, I'll find it. That gets to be a long job, reading all those newspapers. But this, if I remember reading, well, perhaps Washington Street was more the promenade and more where the commerce took place on Washington Street.
Yeah.
Just as it would today. But right now, Franklin is a thoroughfare. All the traffic coming down here. But at that time, Franklin was probably a popular street, but more of a side street.
Well, there wasn't too much traffic because there were only about a dozen automobiles in town. Mm-hmm.
Who owned those? Can you remember? Johnston, you said, or Johnson.
Yeah, Tom Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And Jay Johnson was his boy, and he was in a boiler shop.
Yeah.
And ran it for years.
That's J.F.?
J.F., right.
Yep.
Right.
I remember him.
Right.
Well, who else? How about the Harbecks?
Yeah, B. Frank Harbeck had a Hudson.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Loudis.
Yeah, they would.
They had a Morgan.
Huh.
And Hatton. I forgot what kind of beer.
They began to do a lot of work for General Motors with the leather. He might have owned a General Motors car. Hatton.
Uh-huh. He had a big car, but I don't recall just what the make was.
Well, how about your dad?
He bought a seven-passenger Studebaker. I think it was 1914. And
open car.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And Armstead. Went in with that Johnston. Armstead Campbell.
Uh-huh.
The two of them each had a seven-passenger Studebaker. And that was a great sport.
Oh, yeah.
take a ride on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, sure.
Over to Muskegon or maybe to Grand Rapids.
Gee, that'd be...
But mostly you'd go to Muskegon, stop over there for a soda on a Sunday, and then drive back the same afternoon.
Well, you remember that, of course. You would have been about 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
And, of course, I remember bumping into a couple of cows at different times.
Was that right?
Because the farmers would be moving their cows from one field to another and be down the road.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, you never knew which way they were going to go.
Turn around and charge the car.
They didn't charge it, really. They'd probably try and get out of the way, you know, but they'd run the way wrong, excited to run the wrong way. I've seen my dad bump into a couple of them.
Well, those were all dirt roads that you were on, too, weren't they?
Right.
And it would be the old Grand Haven Road.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Well, even though it was still only 12 miles away, I bet it seemed a lot longer than that when you're traveling at what? Probably 20 miles an hour?
Oh, they ran fat. Ran faster. I don't remember. I think they probably ran 40 or 50 miles an hour.
If the conditions allowed it.
What's that?
If the roads allowed it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mostly you'd be driving 20 or 30 miles an hour.
Sure. Now your mother would be one of the passengers as well.
Oh yeah. The whole family get in the seven-passenger car.
Yeah. How big a family did you have?
Well, I had two sisters and a brother. And there were, I guess, grandmother left us when I was small.
Hmm. Here again, right in this home.
Yeah. Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you the only one left?
I'm the only one that's left.
Huh. Huh. And you have no ancestors, no... family, no...
No, never been married.
Yeah, no offspring, so... But you probably do have nephews or nieces or...
Yeah. And a brother that was married a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And his first wife was D.J. Cannon's daughter.
Okay.
And I had a letter from her just a couple of weeks ago. She lives in California. And she just lost her she's been married two or three times, and she had a big family. And how she put it, she lost